great song done well. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. I don't know how many sermons over the years, the 45 years of ministry that I have preached or I've heard preached from the first two verses of Romans 12, but it's never been exhausted. And I want to say a few words from it again tonight, except I'm going to include verse number 3. Romans chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3. If you found your place, would you stand with me as we get ready to read the Word of God? You notice something's looking funny in the baptistry? We've got a leak in the baptistry. The inlet line, feed line to fill it up is leaking. We had to drain it and in order to fix it. And the easiest place to put the pot plants that were setting up on the wall that had to be taken down to uncover it was down in the baptistry after it was drained. So it'll be ready to go by Sunday. But I want you to know that that's not a floating garden up there. And I have it from a reliable source that there's a couple of big guys in our church that's got a little contest of losing weight. Is that true, Brother Tom? Is it true that you and Brother Costigan's got something going? Hopefully it's going to be two smaller guys. Amen. I wondered what he was coming in. Tom was coming down the hall the other day with his lunch, and it was in this little plastic bag that you put in a microwave and heated up, I think, in that bag, and it's just something all in one. It's a bag of junk. Geared up for a camp. All right. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren. He's not writing this to unsaved people. He's writing it to Christians. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now he's saying to every one of us who are saved that it is God's plan for our life that we prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for our life. I want to talk to you tonight about discerning and doing the will of God. Discerning and doing the will of God. Father, help me tonight to be very clear as I preach this message. I want to be helpful to our people. Lord, I want each one of us to desire to know the will of God. And I want us to clearly be able to discern what God's will for us is as Christians. Then I want us to give the rest of our life to doing it. Doing and proving the will of God for our life. Now, Lord, help me as I preach to help our people so that we may leave here committed to know and do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seeing. Knowing and doing the will of God is the most important thing we as Christians can do as Christians. That's why we were created. That's why we were redeemed. You think God just redeemed you to save you from hell? No, He redeemed us to save us from hell and give us a new life so we could do the will of God for our life. We were created to do the will of God. There's no such thing as God saving a person and not having a will for that person's life. There is no such thing. If you are saved, then God has a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for your life. So the most important thing we can do as Christians is to discern the will of God, that is, get to know what it is, and then give the rest of our life to doing the will of God. Allow me to say that this is the church age. And I make no apologies for saying I believe the will of God for every Christian has to do with serving Him according to His will through your local church. I do not believe that God ordained parachurch organizations to carry out His will on the earth. The reason they do, people organize parachurch organizations because they don't want to be under authority. But God's will in this age is the church age. And God's will in the New Testament is that His churches are all visible, local churches. We do not believe in an invisible, universal church. So the will of God for our lives has to do with living and serving Him through the local church and under the direction of His local church. The local church is a complete body. And every member of that body has a divine function within the context of that local church. If we do not know and do the will of God through our local church, then we're crippling the body of Christ and hindering the will of God in our lives and for that local church. Christians in the local church not willing to know and do the will of God has a longer chance of being successful for God than the old horse that won the Kentucky Derby at 50-1 odds. We're not going to get the job done unless we know His will and do it. And His will is going to be in connection with the local church. God did not give the Great Commission to an individual to evangelize the world on his own. God gave the Great Commission to Christians making up His church, and He told the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I don't want to hinder the will of God. And I know the place of God's greatest blessings, greatest power, and greatest protection for me and my family is when I know and do the will of God for my life. What kind of a fool are we to think that God is going to throw away all of His principles in His Word and bless us for doing it our way and not His way? He's not going to do that, folks. Now, listen to the scriptures it speaks concerning the will of God. First of all, God had a will for Jesus when He came into the world as the God-man. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:7, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book it's written of me, to do Thy will, O God." That's speaking of Jesus. John 5:30 says, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." And by the way, living a holy life is living a life in the will of God, because that is God-like. God-like. Galatians 1 verse 4 says, speaking of Jesus, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. God's will for him was to die for us and deliver us from this present evil world. Now, listen to what God's word says about his will for our lives. First of all, when we pray, we are to pray for the will of God in our lives. And by the way, God has a will for our life that will never change. There are some things about the will of God for our lives that's never going to change. God's will is never going to change concerning us being his witness. God wants us to tell people about Jesus. Now, some of you think you've outgrown it, but you haven't. You're just out of the will of God. God still intends for us to talk to people about Jesus. I stopped by the grocery store today and was walking in, and they had a display up there with a swing and a canopy on it, and there's a man sitting in that swing, swinging, and had a t-shirt on and shorts, gray hair. So I walked up, he said, "Hello, preacher." Well, I didn't know him. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I saw him one time. He said, "I saw you at Brother Carl's homegoing." I said, "Yeah, you and your mother were there." And he said, "Yes." I said, "Man, you hadn't gotten in church, have you? You told me you were saved, but you're not in church." He said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Why? You don't know where one is?" We had a little chat there for a few moments, and he said, "Preacher, pray for me." I mean, just talk to people about Jesus. I mean, you don't have to grab them by the collar and say, "Dummy, are you going to hell or heaven?" You know, you can be kind to them. You can strike up a general invitation. You can approach the testimony of Christ and salvation with sanity and compassion and kindness. He was still sitting there when I went out, and we talked a little bit more. It's the will of God for us to witness. I mean, there's some things in the will of God that we do, and God intends for us to do them the rest of our life. It's the will of God for us to pray, to give, to be faithful to our church. It's the will of God for us to find a place of ministry and service in our church. Now, there are some things about the will of God that may grow and progress. For instance, there was a time when God called me to preach the gospel. So the will of God stepped up a notch in my life. It changed. It did. None of those other things changed, but God has grown me and given me more responsibility and more authority. So the will of God will progress in our life. And by the way, some of you that have gotten silver-headed and bald-headed, your hand shakes, you can't walk much anymore. The will of God doesn't expect you to do everything a 20-year-old can. God would expect you to use what assets you have for His glory. But God wants us to be involved in the will of God. So, listen to what God's Word says about His will for our life. Just some scripture. When we pray, we're to pray for the will of God to be done in our lives as it's done in heaven. How long has it been since you've asked God that? When Jesus is teaching us to pray in His pattern prayer, He tells us, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, have you ever asked God to help you do His will on earth like it's being done in heaven? God tells us we're to make it a part of our prayer life. And the Bible says we're to do the will of God from our heart. Ephesians 6:6, we're not to go around with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And by the way, when we do the will of God, we don't do it to build our name, but to build His. We don't do it to seek our glory, but seek His. Every child of God should delight to do the will of God, the Bible says. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do Thy will, O God. Yea, the law is within my heart. Do you delight to know and do the will of God? The story of victory and success in Paul's life is the story of a new Christian who begins to seek and do the will of God as quickly as possible. He didn't wait for 3 years. While he is still flat of his back in the desert, right after he was saved, he still could not see. The first words that comes out of his mouth is, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? He's saying, what You will. I want to do it. When Paul got the will of God settled in his heart, he went about obeying God. He did not spend his life questioning God or arguing with God. He just commenced to obey Him. And he turned the world upside down. Paul made it known over and over again in his preaching and writings that he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, I want you to know God has a will for His people in His local churches concerning giving. God does not intend for any of us to be spiritual hitchhikers. God does not intend for us to come to church and let somebody else pay all the bills, do all the work, and keep the insurance up, and you sit in the new pew in the air conditioning somebody else is paying for. If you're a member of the church, God intends for me and you to give and bear those burdens with equality. And you know, when we give our tithe, we're giving equally. Equal percentage of our gross income. That means if you're a teenager and you're mowing lawns and you make $30 a week and you give $3, you're sharing equally in the will of God in the matter of giving as compared to the man who gave $1,000 that week. You know, only God could design a plan like that. Isn't that wonderful? And isn't it wonderful that He's made it possible for every one of us, if we want to be honest, as Christians, to be a part of the will of God for our life. Why? Paul even uses this and says when it comes to giving, in 2 Corinthians 8:5, he says, as the Macedonian Christians, before they gave those gifts, they first gave themselves. And God's will in our life concerning giving is that we first give ourselves to God in the will of God. I'm just simply saying to you, the will of God is not confined to one verse here. It's throughout the Old and the New Testament. God has special promises to those who give their lives to knowing and doing the will of God. 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then it ought to be the honest desire and prayer of every Christian to know and do the will of God. You say, preacher, how do we learn what is the will of God for our lives? Well, we go to God. Novel thing, ask Him. That's what Paul did. That's a good starting place. Go to God and follow His leadership and the Holy Spirit. Follow His Word. Psalm 143 verse 10 says, teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Go to God and ask Him. Now, tonight I want to give you a simple Bible formula for discerning and doing the will of God. It's not some magical thing. God's put it down in the Scripture. Let me say, first of all, the honest Christian will have a longing in his heart to know and do the will of God. I'm telling you, when you are saved and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, God in us puts a longing in the honest Christian's heart to know and do the will of God. When God began to deal with me about tithing, when I had that longing in my heart, it wasn't the devil that put it there. It wasn't even my wife that put it there. It was God the Holy Spirit that put it there. I knew it was right. I knew it was the will of God. And when old Dallas Billington finally quit preaching, I knelt there at the altar and made that commitment to God from that day forth to give a dime out of every dollar and a penny out of every dime that God blessed me with. But He put a longing in my heart. The Bible says, if any man desire the office of a bishop, who put that longing in my heart to preach the Word of God? Or that longing in your heart to teach a Sunday school class? Or that longing in your heart to learn how to be a witness? There ought to be a longing in your heart to do something in the will of God if you're right with God. And if you're not right with God, you ought to be asking Him to forgive you. Since it's the will of God for every Christian to know and do the will of God, He and He alone puts that longing in the hearts of His children. He did with newly saved Paul. Guess what? It didn't take him 6 months in discipleship classes before he ever got up off the ground. He was asking, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? See, I don't believe a person is any more right or ever cleaner or closer to God than the moment they get saved. Every honest Christian ought to have a longing in their heart to know and do the will of God. You say, but I don't. Well, then you're not an honest Christian. Or you're not a Christian. Paul's salvation was sincere and it was real. God put a longing in his heart to know and do the will of God. Before he did anything else, he asked that question. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Have you ever asked that question of God? Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? That's a good place to begin in discerning the will of God for your life. Ask Him. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Too many just get up from the altar of salvation and begin to do what pleases them without ever asking the Lord to make known His will for their life. And I've got to ask you again tonight, do you have that longing in your heart to know and do the will of God? Honest Christians should. Secondly, God has made it possible for His children to learn and to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now there's three principles given to us in Scripture to help us learn and prove the will of God. First of all, there is the body principle. The body principle. You ought to write that down. The body principle. Romans 12:1 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The body principle. A good way to begin to learn and prove the will of God is for the honest Christian to get on his knees and say, Lord, I don't know all about what your will for my life is, but I know you saved me, and I'm presenting my body to you tonight for you to use for your glory and for your will. By the way, you can't serve God without the body. Well, I wasn't there Sunday, but I was there in spirit. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Get away from me, you spooky Christian. Anything you do for God, you're going to do in this body of flesh, yielded to God. And if you're going to know and do the will of God, it begins with the body principle where I present my body to God to use for His glory, His honor, and His privilege. I beseech ye therefore, brethren. That word therefore means in light of the preceding 11 chapters of Romans and how we've been redeemed, saved, forgiven, justified, and are secure in Christ forever. The fact that we'll never know anything about hell except what we read in the Bible. It seems only reasonable for any Christian to be willing to present his newly saved life and body to God to serve him here on earth. You'll never know the will of God until you make this presentation to God. Present your bodies. I'm going to keep it, man. There's some things I want to do in this old bod. Yeah, and this old bod's going to get you in all the trouble. So much trouble you can't handle. So much trouble that your life's going to be a bundle of scars and heartaches and regrets and tears and shame. What are you going to do with this body that's worth anything? Present it to God. Present it to God. Through this body presented to God, you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for your lives. It's not unreasonable for a Christian to do so. It is unreasonable for a person who accepts the free gift of God not to be willing to do it. It's unreasonable. We must make the decision to know and do the will of God, and it'll never be known, nor will you do it without presenting your bodies for God's use. Now let me ask you a question. This is a profound question, and I think you need to answer it tonight, and I need to answer it. Is there anything that you'd not do if you knew it was the will of God for you to do it? Is there anything you would not do if God proved to you that it was the will of God for you to do it? If there's some things you would not do if God said, this is my will for you to do it, you've never really presented your body a living sacrifice unto Him. This presentation of our bodies to the Lord for His will results in a transformation taking place. Oh, the transformation eventually will get outside, but it always starts inside. It's like the metamorphosis that takes place when the worm, the ugly worm, becomes the beautiful butterfly. There's a change that takes place. The change is not seen with the eyes of man. We see the changed product, but the change is taking place inside of the little old cocoon. This transformation takes place within the heart and the mind of the child of God. Christ's nature is moved to the forefront of our lives, and we begin to live to please Him and to do His will. The inner nature of a Christian must be Christ before this transformation can ever be seen in the body. Most Christians settle for being conformed instead of being transformed to what Christ desires for us. He gives us a renewed mind. This renewed mind is the mind of Christ that we can know. And this mind of Christ is revealed in this blessed book. We can know it. And we can understand. So, first of all, there is the body principle in learning and proving the will of God. Secondly, we can know the will of God by using the Bible principle. The Bible principle. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. That means you don't just hear it and read it and discard it. It means you hear it and read it and keep it in here and in here, and let it affect your decision making. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. You're never going to know the will of God apart from this book. One cannot know and do the will of God without knowing the mind of Christ and the heart of God. And that's what this book is. Written down in words for us. Never changes unless some old liberal pervert gets a hold of it and tries to change its teachings to please the flesh. When you're learning and serving according to the Bible, you can also learn and do the will of God according to the Bible. So there is the body principle, and there is the Bible principle, and thirdly, there's the Holy Spirit principle. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. But it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you." God said, Jesus said, "I'm going back to the Father, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, who will live with you and in you. And He'll be with you and in you until you're raptured out." And then just over in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, still speaking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, and ye shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. So the Holy Spirit principle is learning to lean and listen to the Holy Spirit of God. It's His job to lead us. It's His job to teach us. It's His job to guide us. It's His job to put that longing in our heart to do the will of God. Dear God, I never thought as a tow-headed country boy in East Texas that one day God would put in my heart a longing to preach the Word of God. That didn't come from the bull nettles and the grass burrs of Myrtle Springs. That didn't come from the spit and whittle club on the corners of Will's Point. It came from God through His Holy Spirit that lives in the hearts of His children and the body of His children. And if we'll learn to use the body principle and the Bible principle and the Holy Spirit principle, we can know the will of God. I wonder how much of what we do in the name of the Lord Jesus is the result of the will of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, or just our want-tos, our planning. We should ask ourselves just how much we want to know and do the will of God for our lives. It ought to be forefront in every honest Christian's life. And then thirdly, once we know the will of God, then it's time to begin to labor in the will of God. Not just sashay toward it. Not just gradually dance around it. Roll up our sleeves. Get in it all the way. And labor with our life, our ability, our talents, our finances, our intellect, our wisdom, doing and proving the will of God. Let me ask you, are you laboring as a Sunday school teacher? Are you laboring as a group captain? Are you laboring as a staff member? Are you laboring as a choir member? Or do you just approach it in a casual manner? If you get it done, if you don't, it doesn't matter. Once we know the will of God, it's time then to begin to prove. You know what I've been doing for 45 years? I've been trying to prove God's called me to preach. Be good that God would help you to prove that God called you to something too. Labor at it. Give it everything you've got. You say, now I've got other responsibilities. In the priorities of God, there's enough time for everything that's a priority. If you don't have enough time to do everything that's priority with God, then maybe you've added some things to the list that are not priorities with God. And maybe you need to trim your list to God's priorities first. Then you can know and do and prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. It is God's will that we do the will of God on earth just like it's being done in heaven. That's obediently, confidently, completely, and continually until God says, come on home, son. Come on home, daughter. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Father, that's our message tonight. Sure did enjoy working on it this morning. Thank you for what you've done in my own heart with the Word of God today. God, that it still bubbles. It still churns within me to know and do your will so I can honor and glorify and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, I'm afraid we've got people in our church that's just content to live their life and go on as usual, same old, instead of knowing and doing the will of God. The best place in this world is in the will of God. The most blessed and profitable and peaceful place in this world is knowing and doing the will of God. The best place for my family is with their husband or daddy when he is living and proving and doing the will of God for his life. May you burn in our heart the desire to know and do it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed.